This article is brought to you by the best-selling book See Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. Psychological tools every mediator should know. The mental frameworks that separate skilled mediators from well-meaning ones. In short, most people think mediation is about negotiation. It is actually about perception. Two people in conflict are not just disagreeing about facts. They are operating from different emotional realities. The psychological tools that matter most in mediation help you read those realities clearly and guide people toward ground they can share. Skilled mediators listen for what is underneath what people say, not just what they say. The most powerful mediation skills work on emotion and identity, not just logic and position. Every tool described here has a direct, practical use inside a real dispute. Definition: mediation skills psychology refers to the psychological tools and principles that allow a mediator to understand and work with the emotional and cognitive forces driving a conflict. It addresses how identity, perception, and unmet needs shape what people say and what they need to hear. Most people who walk into a mediation for the first time think the job is to find the middle ground, split the difference, get both sides to agree on something reasonable, and send them home. I thought the same thing for a while. Then I watched enough mediations fall apart in the days that followed. Perfectly signed agreements dissolving the moment people returned to their desks to understand that something deeper was going wrong. The real work of mediation is psychological. It is not about who gets what. It is about understanding why each person in that room sees the situation as fundamentally, personally threatening. The moment you grasp that, your mediation skills change completely. You stop managing arguments and start working with the human minds producing them. This article explains the core psychological tools that make that shift possible. Why conflict stays stuck. The role of identity and perception. Here is the truth of it: most disputes that end up needing a mediator have already moved past their original disagreement. The facts of what happened have become secondary. What each party is now defending is their version of events, and more importantly, their version of themselves within those events. When someone tells your colleague deliberately undermined them, they are not simply describing behavior. They are protecting a self-image, one that requires the other person to have acted badly. Challenge the facts, and you are not just questioning what happened. You are threatening who they believe they are. That is why people dig in. That is why just be reasonable never works. A skilled mediator understands this before either party opens their mouth. The conflict you are watching is not the real conflict. It is the surface expression of something more personal underneath. The psychological core of effective mediation skills. Positions versus interests. The most useful distinction in conflict work. Every person in a dispute has a position, what they say they want, and they have an interest why they want it. These are really the same thing, and confusing the two is the most common reason mediation fails to produce anything lasting. Imagine two colleagues arguing over which of them presents the project to the board. That is their position. But ask each one, separately and quietly, what matters most to them about this, and you will often discover that one wants recognition and the other wants to protect the team from what they fear is an underprepared presentation. Those are interests, and they are not actually in conflict. A mediator who only works at the level of positions will produce a compromise that satisfies neither person. One who surfaces the interests can often find a solution that meets both. The tool is simple: when you hear a position, ask yourself what underlying need would explain it. Then create conditions in which each party can express that need without sounding weak. Reframing, the most precise tool a mediator carries. Reframing is the practice of restating what someone has said in a way that strips out the blame, the accusation, and the defensiveness, and replaces it with the underlying concern. It is not softening the truth. It is translating it into a form the other person can actually hear. If someone says, "She never includes me in decisions that affect my own team," a reframe might be, "It sounds like being part of decisions that affect your team matters a great deal to you. Nothing was changed. Everything was changed." The other person, who is bracing to defend themselves against an accusation, now hears a statement about a need they might actually understand. That shift creates space. Reframing requires you to listen carefully enough to separate the emotional content from the factual content. Practice it on yourself first. When you feel irritated or dismissed, ask what you actually need in that moment. Most of the time, it is not what you are about to say out loud. Psychological safety, the invisible foundation. People do not say what they really mean when they feel unsafe. They repeat their grievances escalate their language, and perform certainty they do not feel. This is not dishonesty. It is protection. A mediator's first job is to create conditions in which both parties feel they can speak without being ridiculed, dismissed, or attacked. You build this through consistency. You respond to both parties with the same tone, the same attention, and the same neutrality, even when one person is being more reasonable than the other. You do not reward good behavior with warmth and punish difficult behavior with coldness. You hold the same steady ground throughout because both parties are watching how you treat the other and deciding whether they can trust you. If you are reading this and thinking about the dynamics in your own team, the article on how a MET needs drive team conflict and what to say to restore synergy covers this territory from a team leadership perspective. Emotional regulation, yours and theirs. A mediator who becomes tense when the room becomes tense has lost control of the process. Your calm is not a passive state. It is an active tool. When your voice lows, your posture settles, and your responses become measured, the nervous systems of the people in the room respond. This is not mystical. It is how human beings co-regulate emotion in the presence of others. The practical implication before any mediation session, prepare yourself. Not just your notes and your process, but your own state. Know what is likely to irritate you or pull you toward one side. Decide in advance how you will respond if the session becomes heated. Mediators who skip this preparation tend to manage the room reactively, which hands control of the session to whoever is most emotionally activated. Where these tools become visible in real disputes. Let me give you a pattern I have watched repeat itself across decades of conflict work. Two colleagues have a dispute that centers, on the surface, on workload distribution. Person A says person B never pulls their weight. Person B says person A takes over tasks without being asked, and then resents the help. A mediator focused on the surface argument will try to divide the work differently. That rarely holds. But a mediator using the psychological tools above will notice something else. Person A's complaint is actually about respect and acknowledgement, and person B's complaint is about autonomy and trust. Neither of them is saying that out loud, because neither of them has quite identified it yet. Reframing each person's position towards those underlying interests, and then creating safety for both to acknowledge that the other might have a point, is how this kind of dispute actually resolves. Not through a new spreadsheet. Through recognition. If you want a structured method for resolving this kind of fracture before it deepens, the DEAL method for conflict that our fracturing team synergy gives you a clear sequence to follow. What gets missed, and why? The reason most people underestimate the psychological dimension of mediation skills is straightforward. We are trained to respond to what people say. Content is visible, subtext is not. And in a heated situation, the content is loud. There is also a deeper pull. When we take sides, even subtly, we feel less anxious. Neutrality is genuinely uncomfortable. It requires you to hold space for a position you think is wrong, to resist the pull of your own judgment, and to trust that your job is not to be right, but to help two other people find their way to something workable. Most people are not trained for that. Most people find it easier to manage the argument than to manage themselves within it. This is where the psychological tools do double duty. They keep the parties on track, yes, but they also give you, as mediator, a specific practice to return to when the room becomes difficult. Listen more carefully, reframe more precisely, check the emotional temperature and adjust accordingly. Tools replace instinct with craft. For situations where tension escalates quickly and you need to bring it down in real time, the practical guidance in how to de-escalate arguments during meetings covers the immediate techniques that support your mediation process. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblickthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Applying the psychology. What changes when you understand this? The shift that happens when a mediator truly internalizes these psychological principles is not subtle. You stop feeling responsible for the outcome and start feeling responsible for the process. That is the correct orientation. You cannot make two people agree. You can create conditions in which agreement becomes possible. In practice, this means three things change in how you work. You prepare differently. Before any session, you think through what each person is likely to be protecting, not just what they are likely to argue. You prepare frames for the positions you expect to hear, so you are not searching for language under pressure. You listen at two levels, content and subtext simultaneously. When someone speaks, you're asking what is the stated concern and what personal stake sits behind it. Both questions need answers before you respond. You pace the room. You understand that when someone becomes activated, their capacity for clear thinking narrows, and no progress will happen until regulation returns. You slow down. You summarize. You give time. This is not weakness. It is precision. The core framework for staying grounded during tense conversations is worth reading alongside this article for those moments when you need to manage your own regulation in real time. And when you're moving from insight to action inside a session, the DEAL method for resolving workplace tension gives the practical sequence that carries the psychological work forward. For the language itself, word-for-word scripts for de-escalating tension with a colleague provide the exact phrases you can use when you know what needs to be said, but are not yet certain how to say it. And the deeper principles of empathy that underpin all of this are covered carefully in How to Resolve Interpersonal Tension Through Empathy. The ground beneath the argument. After 6 decades of watching people try to resolve conflict, the thing I'm most certain of is these disputes that persist are not about the thing they appear to be about. They are about dignity, recognition, trust, and fairness. The mediation skills that matter most are the ones that help you reach those roots while everyone else is still arguing about the branches. That is the purpose of the psychological tools in this article. Not to make mediation more complicated, but to make it more accurate. When you read a conflict correctly, at the level of identity and interest rather than position and argument, the path forward becomes clearer for everyone in the room. Mediation skills psychology is not a supplement to good mediation practice. It is the foundation on which every other skill rests. Frequently asked questions. What is mediation skills psychology? Mediation skills psychology refers to the psychological tools and principles a mediator uses to understand what is really driving a conflict. It goes beyond managing surface arguments to identify unmet needs, identity threats, and emotional triggers that keep two parties stuck. How do mediators use reframing as a psychological tool? Reframing means restating what someone said in a way that removes blame and focuses on underlying needs instead of positions. A mediator might say you are not angry at her decision. You feel your judgment was not trusted. That shift changes what the other person hears. What psychological tools do skilled mediators rely on most? The most reliable tools are active listening, reframing, and managing psychological safety. These three work together. Listening surfaces what is real, reframing makes it hearable, and safety gives both parties the confidence to keep talking honestly rather than defending themselves. Why do mediators need to understand positions versus interests? Positions are what people say they want. Interests are why they want it. Two people can hold opposing positions while sharing identical underlying interests. A mediator who only addresses positions will reach a temporary settlement. One who surfaces interests can reach a durable agreement. How does emotional regulation fit into mediation skills? When people feel threatened, their capacity for clear thinking narrows sharply. A mediator who understands this actively manages the emotional temperature of the room, slowing the pace, naming tension without inflaming it, and giving each party time to return to a state where problem solving is possible. What is psychological safety in mediation, and why does it matter? Psychological safety means each party feels they can speak honestly without being judged, dismissed, or attacked. Without it, people perform. They repeat rehearsed grievances rather than revealing real concerns. A mediator creates safety through neutrality, consistent tone, and deliberate acknowledgement of each person's perspective. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.